the rest of the story. Jim Otis wanted to be struck by lightning. Oh, yes, he knew what it meant. But that's how Jim wanted to die. The very thought of such a glorious demise was exhilarating, he said. Psychiatrists probably have a word for whatever Jim's condition was, or they might disagree, but in the days before psychiatry, it might have been said that Jim Otis was touched in the head. His mind also suffered the brilliance which often accompanies imbalance. A lawyer and a publisher, he could hold an audience spellbound in person or in print. In 1760, Jim was Advocate General of the British Vice Admiralty Court in Boston, but in protest of the government's sweeping search and seizures, he resigned. John Adams was in the courtroom that day in February of 1761 when Jim Otis launched into his five-hour filibuster against British colonial policies. In Adams' notes, in Adams' own hand, he wrote, quote, "American independence was then and there born." And he might have added that it was fathered by a madman. For this is the rest of the story. That same year, Jim Otis was elected to the Massachusetts legislature, where he was promptly rallied about by enemies of the crown. Ironically, Jim never wished independence from England, much less a revolution. He would rather be struck by lightning. Literally. In fact, it's possible that Jim's ravings, erratic and contradictory as they were, followed by swoonings into impenetrable melancholy, were actually no more than manifestations of manic depression. Nonetheless, disgruntled colonists found comfort in his eloquent mania, especially when it was directed against some British mischief or malfeasance. The only challenge to those who would one day take up arms against England was to keep unpredictable Jim Otis from embarrassing them with his insanity. Then one night, September of 1769, the problem took care of itself. Jim was always threatening physical violence against this public official or that. After all, if he could not be struck by lightning, he would at least like to go down flailing at something or somebody. One such threat culminated in what began as a fistfight in a tavern with a British customs commissioner. It wound up a free-for-all in which he, Otis, was severely wounded in the head. Now, in reality, the wound did not seem to exacerbate Jim's behavior. In fact, it appeared to improve it. But now, every time he rushed out and broke all the windows in the townhouse or dashed into the path of a musket ball or ranted on about how nice it would be to get killed by lightning, now at least the would-be revolutionaries could claim that it was the result of British brutality. Well, Jim Otis lived to see the revolution that he had dreaded. He lived to see the birth of the nation that he never sought to inspire. He lived to put his signature on its declaration of independence. He would later say, "I meant well, but now I'm convinced I was mistaken. Cursed be the day I was born." And yet when they looked over the mountain to the promised land, it was on the shoulders of an eccentric named James Otis that our forefathers stood. By the way, May 23, 1783, Jim was leaning in a farmhouse doorway. He was watching a gathering storm when a bolt of lightning struck the chimney and followed a rafter to the door frame. The door casing split open and Jim Otis fell dead just as he had planned. Now you know the rest of the story.